Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Group hug. Group hug. Group hug. Oh, bless you. How are you doing? All right?
Vision before the service started, things went a little. I saw like.
Bless you. Thank you. Amen. All right. Well, that feels better, doesn't it? Feels better just to praise the Lord and to tell somebody you love them. They're glad they're here. It's awesome to be in the house of the Lord. What was it Pastor Ace used to see? Better be in church than the best hospital in the city. So, amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Don't forget Bowl-a-thon. Okay, sign up on a team, join my team, join somebody else's team, hand them out right now. Naomi, you'll do that for me. Yes, so in the little letter that's being handed out, and then there's a form as well, Naomi, so it's two-part. And so the letter tells you how to do it. So whether you're bowling or not, you could still collect for us. You could still say, you know, somebody in my church is, you know, doing a fundraiser. It's a bowl-a-thon. And then they might sponsor you a gift for a donation over $5 is tax receivable. And so that would be a great help for the Dream Center. All right. Jody, I noticed you had your hand up during blessing time. I didn't want to miss you. Okay. Do you want to wait till next week for she can share it, or? Oh. Amen. That's right. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, didn't want to miss anybody else. Okay. Ah, yes, madam. Awesome. We're glad you're here. You already heard that. She was sick the last couple of weeks, but she's glad to be here this morning. Amen. All right, so let's say yes to miracles. Amen? I've been away for a number of weeks. I just want you to know that my name is Pastor Joy. I'm one of the pastors here at the Core Church. Forgot the name of my church even. I've been away for so long. And last week I was in Brampton Christian Family Church. We had a great service there and were able to minister to a number of people. And it was just, but it's good to be back. And I hear you had some great services and great preachers, and for most of them I was here, but I missed him last week, so apparently he's got 10 more on love, and so I'm sure that we'll have him back again, and he can continue that, but we appreciate him very, very much. I also want to, I didn't get the opportunity really at Pastor Appreciation to just say thank you so much You all honored us so much on that Sunday. It was great. It was Sunday. On that great remembering all the places we'd been and what God had done. It's good to remember what God has done, not only to you and for you, but what God has done through you as well. It's a great encouragement, and it sparked a lot of memories. Thank you, too, for the financial support that you gave us. I still have it tucked away in an envelope, and Pastor Ace and I are fighting over what to spend it on. No, I'm just kidding. But we always try to spend it on something special, like something for the house or new shoes for me or something, you know, like new shoes in the house. That's right. Put them up on a little frame. Not quite. And they're all flat now, no heels. So seriously, thank you so much. I realize that many of you sacrificed to give that offering and that donation to us, and we really, really appreciate it. All right, so because I haven't been here for so long, we haven't talked on miracles, let me just do, for a couple of minutes, a little bit of an overview of what we talked about. Remember that whatever Jesus did, he did with purpose. He never did anything just, oh, well, I think I'll just go here and, you know, let happen. He always did everything he did with purpose. He had a purpose when he came to this earth, and he was destined to fulfill that purpose, and everything Jesus did, he did with purpose. Now, I know probably for most of us, that's not like you and I. Wednesday night when I left here, I realized that I needed some groceries, and so I just stopped. Actually, it wasn't even groceries. I just had a hankering for chocolate cake. And so I stopped at the grocery store, and just as I was ready to go in line, I thought the cashier was closed, and so I said to her, oh, are you closed? And the person standing beside me said, no, she's not closed. And so I looked at her, and then we thought, oh my gosh, you know me, and I know you. And we used to go to church together, and we hugged each other. And then she said to me, you know, many years ago, I still remember the prophetic word that you spoke over my life, she said. And I want you to know that has been such an encouragement and a blessing to me. And I'm holding on to that prophetic word. And that was just, I came out like 3 feet off the ground, because that was so encouraging to hear someone say, you know, that they remember something that you said to them and that God had really used you. But it didn't start out as my purpose to go to that grocery store, but God ordained that. But everything that Jesus did when he was on this earth, he did with a purpose. The miracles that he did with purpose. And so we talked about what a miracle was. Historic event or a natural phenomena which appears to violate or transcend natural laws, but which reveal God to the eye of faith at the same time. Then we talked about Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs, remember signs is one of those original Greek words that mean miracle. And so these signs shall follow. Who do they follow? Mark chapter 16. You haven't memorized that? You don't know that inside out, upside down, and backwards? All right, I'll read it to you, and then I'll ask questions. These signs shall... Where's David? David Moore, where are you? These signs shall follow who? See that? Hallelujah. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Any believers in the house today? All right. Have you cast out any demons? Have you spoke with new tongues? Have you laid hands on the sick? Have they recovered? Have you drank any deadly thing? These signs, they are things that follow us, church, just like the prophecy. Us, the hidden ones. Us, these signs follow us. They follow us around just waiting for someone to land on, something to land on. We don't have to try and produce these things. They just follow us along, right? I don't know if you've ever been here when little Sammy has that tube hanging out of his backside. It's like a, what do you call those swimming things? A noodle, a pool noodle, thank you, because we could have been going somewhere where I wasn't going. But he sticks this pool noodle back there, and it's like a tail for him, and it follows him. He doesn't try to do anything. It's just there. And I want to tell you that's like it should be for us as believers. These signs follow around those who believe. So let's lay hands on the sick. Amen? Let's cast out some devils. Woo, I'm in. Amen? Let's speak with new tongues. Oh, hey, wait a minute. I think that one passed away, didn't it? No. These signs follow those that believe. They speak with new tongues. They take up serpents. Close. One nearly fell off a door on me. Drink any deadly thing. Well, who knows today? And the list goes on. Miracles, signs. And then Romans 15:19, we talked about through many signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, Paul says, I did. So that from Jerusalem round about into Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is not fully preached until signs and wonders begin happening in us, to us, and through us. Miracles are a normal part of our daily life. They are a normal part of Christianity. And we've got to start thinking that way and start believing that way. Instead of thinking it's for the big high guys, it's for those who have a special anointing. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture says these signs follow those that believe. Not those that have an exorbitant amount of faith. Not those who do this. Just all you have to do is believe. And these signs shall follow. And so we talked about the different words that are in the scripture that describe different kinds of sicknesses that Jesus healed. I won't go through those. We talked about the miracles that he did when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes in Mark chapter 6. How he was looking for faith. You remember that's the story about Philip. How they were all on top of the mountain and Jesus said, let's feed them. And Philip said, we don't have any money. Never mind, even if we did have any money, we don't have a place to go and get bread for all these people. And Andrew said, hey, there's a little boy out there. He's got a lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Right? We remember that. And so Jesus sort of ignored Philip because he's like zeroing in. He's looking for faith. You know, he's just like scanning the earth, looking for faith. I think that's was in one of those Star Trek or Star Wars things, you know, beep, 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 looking for that whale out there and that baby if you're Star Trek people. Oh, you got to watch it, Noel, yeah, yeah. And maybe it was an old one. And just this sound going out, trying to echo back, resounding, and all of a sudden it finds it. And I think Jesus is just like that in this. He's not even going to listen to Philip. Remember that was a test for Philip. Philip, because he said directly, Philip, how are we going to feed these people? And it was Andrew, Peter's brother, that came running and said, there's a little boy out there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus zeroes in on that. Beep, 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 beep. There's faith right there. Maybe just a little bit of faith, because when Andrew gets the look from Philip, like, what are you talking about? Andrew says, well, but what is that amongst so many? But Jesus doesn't care. He's found faith. And if we're going to see the miraculous signs and wonders like it's been prophesied over and over, especially the city of Hamilton, then Jesus is looking for faith. He's not just looking for believers, because we can be believers and not have faith. You know that, don't you? So he's looking for faith. And he's looking for a response of faith. And he found Andrew's declaration. Amen? So remember that Jesus is looking for faith and he's listening for your faith. Oh, I'm so sick. I don't know how this is ever going to get better. But, you know, I think I'll go to church and maybe somebody there will pray for me. Well, that's your declaration. But I'm going to go to church today and they're going to lay hands on me and I'm going to be healed. And then there's faith in that declaration. Amen? And so let's give Jesus something to work with. Then we talked about Acts 2:22, miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did through Jesus. And how God works through us. We're his hands, his feet, you know, all of that. I might offend you, but we're the Jesus now. We're Jesus on earth. We're the ones. He's not here in the physical. So we're the ones that lay hands on the sick, speak in tongues, cast out demons. It's us. We're the ones. We're the believers. And so God was working through him, Acts 2:22 says. And so the kingdom of God is manifest through us, not just to us, because the kingdom has been manifest to us. We've been healed. Our souls have been healed, right? The song that we sang, you call me righteous, you know, all of those things. Well, so I've had a miracle. Has anybody else had a miracle in the house? Yeah, because we're saved. That's an absolute miracle. That cannot be done in any physical way. That's an absolute miracle. And so in order to walk in those miracles, we need to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. And we talked about a great quote by Bill Johnson that said, most Christians repent enough to get forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom come. And so if we're going to see it, if we're going to be a part of the miraculous, we need to change the way we think. We need to change how we think, right? Because what we think is going to come out of our mouth. And what I think comes out of my mouth on a regular basis. I can say stuff that I don't really think or believe because I'm in church, right? I can say those things. I can say I'll stand with my soul surrendered, my heart surrendered to you, with my hands raised. But that's only a 3.5 minute period on a Sunday morning. That's not happening. When I'm at home, that's not happening. When my car doesn't work, when this doesn't happen, when that doesn't happen. And so we've got to start thinking that way. We've got to start. We have to change our way of thinking. One of my favorite pastors used to call it, change your stinking thinking. Because anything we think that's not according to the Word of God is stinking thinking. And it's not going to get us to the place of faith where we see the miraculous happen. And so we talked about Romans 12, needing a transformation of our mind, a transformation of the way we think. We talked about John chapter 2, first miracle that Jesus did. Remember, he did 37 miracles. We're going to talk a little bit about them, what order they're in chronologically, but we won't go through all of those 35 or 37. Let me just check that. I don't want that to be incorrect. 37 miracles. And so, you know, John chapter 2, one of our favorite miracles, they ran out of wine, and how Mary said to him, do whatever he says to you. And so Mary said, you know, basically, okay, my interpretation, turn Jesus, they're out of wine, they need you to turn water into wine. Jesus looks at the Father, because he only did what he saw the Father doing. So he looks to the Father and said, no, it's not happening. He's not turning water into wine. So sorry, Mom, that's not going to happen. And then Mary says to the servants, do whatever he says. Just do what he tells you to do. And Jesus looks back at the Father, and all of a sudden now he's turning water into wine. And so Jesus did what he saw the Father doing, and he turned that water into wine. And so what made the difference? Do you ask that question when you read that scripture? Like, breaks on. What just happened? Did Mary, his mother, manipulate him into that? Did he have to do it because it was his mama who told him to do it? No. What happened was Mary's faith made something extravagant happen. Mary's faith went up to heaven. Jesus turned this water into wine. Mary's faith went to heaven, and God said, oh, there's faith down there. I'm going to do what she said. Because faith makes things happen. Stuff can't happen in the spirit realm without faith happen. And so don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Because your faith and my faith can cause things to happen. Your faith and my faith can cause things to happen in the heavenly realm. Let's just interject in here. I'm not political in any way, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on in our nation that, oh my gosh, we need God. We need prayer. There's enough faith in this room to make some things change. Amen? Our prime minister needs to be saved. He needs to know Jesus. Amen? And so remember, in the midst of these 37 miracles, Jesus did what he saw the Father doing. Water into wine was first. The second miracle in chronological orders John 4:43, but we're not going to talk about that this morning. So I hope as we go through some of them, that's enough of the review, that you will be as excited as I am about what Jesus did and what you and I can do, because signs follow believers. Amen. Don't wait for somebody to lay hands on you to get healed. Lay hands on yourself. Get healed. You know about my knee. David tells me, how's your knee? I've been praying for it. Thank you. Because it's nearly 100%. But every time it starts to bother me, I say, no, you're not going to do that. Jesus paid for this pain. I don't wait for somebody else. I don't wait for Pastor Ace or somebody else to lay hands and pray for me. I talk to my knee. If you see me talking while I'm driving in my car, I'm not talking to myself. Well, maybe I am. But I said this morning on the way, because in a certain position, it kind of locks up and hurts. And I say, no, no, that's not happening. You are going to receive the word of God, because provision has been made for healing. And I'm going to go after it until I'm completely healed. And if the name they put on you was arthritis, then arthritis, you yield to the word of God. Because there's no greater name in heaven or on earth than the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, the name arthritis, the name cancer, the name, all those names they place on diseases have to bow. Faith needs to rise to that level. I don't know why some stuff doesn't happen. I don't know why it didn't get healed totally right away when I said it. I don't know why. But I'm not going to get hung up there. I'm not going to get stopped there and say, well, it didn't happen, so maybe I'm not reading the word right. No, here's what the word says. Here's what Jesus did. So I'm just going to say and do what he did. And let all that other stuff that I don't understand, wait until heaven or wait until I get a revelation on it. But I'm going to stand my arms high, my soul surrendered. I'm going to stand. I'm not going to sit in the spirit realm and spiritually speaking. I'm going to stand. I'm going to take my stand. Amen? And so let's remind ourselves of what the prayer of the disciples, but how Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Let your will be done. What is it? You knew that. Good. I didn't have to rely on David. Excellent. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there cancer in heaven? Come on. No, there's no cancer in heaven. Is there poverty in heaven? Are there demons in heaven? No. Let your will be done. So that's how I know what the will of God is. Because let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to take faith to get us there. His kingdom comes when there's no sickness. His kingdom's come when there's been a release of finances, which, let me interject, could we just pray this week specifically for some release of finances on Core Church? We've got some things that are bills that are large that need to be paid, and we just need to call in those finances. Amen? Join me with that this week. And so there's no poverty in heaven, and that's why the Bible is called, the gospel is also called what? Good news. That's good news. Man, I tell you, if you're sick, broke, dead, or in jail, this is good news. That's good news. Yeah. That's good news that I can be healed. That's good news that I don't have to live in poverty. That's good news that I'm loved. That is good news. I'm happy about that. It's not just, oh yeah, church, the gospel, Jesus. No. This is awesome. You know, there was a little cartoon. Noelle, you should watch this as well. It's a little cartoon of a little dog. I don't know why these things come when I'm preaching. I don't know whether it's the anointing or just 65. I don't know. But anyway, as this dog, when he gets this special treat, he goes up in the air and his feet go right up and he claps his little feet together. Do you remember it, Brian? See, I knew somebody would know. Yeah, and his feet clap and clap and clap. Oh, that's how I feel when I read good news. So good. So good. So good. And so, here is our scripture this morning, Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark 5, starting at verse 21. So previously in Mark chapter 5, 1 to 21, Jesus had cast out demons. He crosses over into Capernaum, where he is in now. There are other places in Scripture that talk about something similar to what's happening here, but it's not, it's a different healing, a different miracle. And so Mark chapter 5, verse 21 is the same as Luke chapter 8, but we're going to stay in Mark chapter 5 for now. So now, when Jesus had crossed over into Capernaum, again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue, named Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." And so Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. I'm in Mark 5, verse 27 now. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction." Okay, so we have Jesus crossing over in a boat into Capernaum by the sea. People had heard that Jesus was coming, and they were waiting for him by the sea. Now, three times it used the words, "and the crowd thronged him," which is a word meaning to crush. And so they pressed in on him. They weren't nice, polite like you, just kind of standing back and just kind of waiting to see what had happened. They had seen miracles happen, many miracles up to this point. They had heard it from their friends, and they just wanted to get close to Jesus. So I'm trying to paint a picture for you. Jesus probably got out of the boat, probably because of the pressing of the crowd, was probably still standing, maybe knee deep in water as he got out of the boat. The crowd was excited, thrilled that Jesus was there. And there he was, and the crowd was so thick, and there were so many people there that again, the word thronged was used, and so they pressed in on him. And along comes a man named Jairus. And Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. He was famous in the town because of who he was. He would have dressed in regal robes, and he was very, very well known. He, somewhere along the line, had heard about Jesus. It's, again, not a stretch to say, because of who he was and because of the oppression, if you want to use that, the pressure on men in the synagogue not to seek out Jesus because they didn't believe in him. They were against him. And so he would not have had opportunity to see Jesus on his own. But here's Jesus now in his own town. And so Jairus comes all dressed in his regal robe, and so the crowd sees him and parts a pathway, and he walks up to Jesus, and realizing the greatness of this man in the town and the fame that he had, here is this man. He falls down. Actually, the original says he dove at Jesus' feet and begins to beg him to come and heal his little girl. And if you can just picture that, the crowd must have been like totally silent to see this man walking in with all his beautiful garment on. You know, the crowd parts before him and he falls down in humility, puts his pride aside and falls down at Jesus' feet. He dove headlong. This great and powerful man humbles himself. He lays aside his pride, and Scripture says that he asked Jesus to come. She was in the last stage of her sickness. His daughter was dying. And this, probably to this man, was the last opportunity that she had to be healed. And so faith stirred in his heart. He'd heard about this man, Jesus. Maybe he knew somebody that had a miracle happen to them. Maybe he knew somebody who had, quote, met the Messiah like you and I have. And maybe this person had just gushed all over. Maybe he was walking somewhere and he heard them talking about Jesus. However, faith was stirring in his heart. And he came to Jesus and he said, if you will just come. And because of his position, it was not an invitation. Jesus, would you please come? The Greek is very specific, very strong. Come. So it was like he was placing a demand on Jesus, which we are allowed to do, church, ladies and gentlemen, is to place a demand on the anointing of God. And so this man placed a demand on Jesus and simply says, come. If you come to my house and you lay your hands. Now, there had been other miracles that we know Jesus had done, but maybe this man didn't. Maybe he'd only heard about the hands of Jesus, you know, and sometimes we think the healing is in the hands. If you would just lay your hands on me, or if you would just anoint me with oil, you know, then it will happen. So somehow he'd heard that Jesus, if you could just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she will be well. In fact, he says she will be healed and she will live. Are you hearing the declaration of faith? Because he didn't say, if you come, then there's a chance that my girl could be well. Just maybe. Sometimes we go to Jesus like that. And we think, well, God, I know you did it for somebody else, but I'm not really sure that you're going to do this for me. But just maybe. And so our faith needs to take a leap there, doesn't it? To Jesus, you did this for all these people. You are not a respecter of persons. I've read that. You love me the same as you love anybody else. And this man comes with that kind of faith, and he was desperate. He came desperate. Sometimes I think that's our problem. Sometimes I think we're just not desperate enough. We've got all kinds of other stuff. We've got credit cards and banks and doctors and all these things and psychoanalysis and all that kind of stuff going on and hypnotism and this replacing this and this. And we're desperate for the wrong thing. We're not hungry for Jesus. We're not desperate enough for Jesus. But he comes desperate for a miracle and he came hungry. And so Jesus follows him. And so again, see the picture. Imagine Jesus turning, walking with Jairus. So now that crowd is thronging him again. They're not parting for Jairus anymore. Jesus is close enough for everybody to touch, or the close ones to touch. And the crowd is pressing in on him. Have you ever been that? Have you ever been to Elvis Presley or the Beatles concert? And all you want to do is get close to that stage. And if they would just throw their sweaty old sweatband on us, then we'd be happy. The crowd was thronging Jesus. If we could just touch him, we could just reach out and touch Jesus. Maybe my friend is walking beside me saying, yes, he touched me last week and I'm not blind anymore. Look at how I'm walking. I'm healed. And there was testimonies going on in the midst of the crowd. It's my movie. Leave me alone. Right? And the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, crowding him, crushing him, the word is. And so they didn't even see Jairus anymore, this famous great man. It was Jesus that they had come to see. the healer. Verse 24 says, the great multitude followed him. Well, if you're going with Jairus, buddy, I'm going with you, because I'm going to see what happens, and I'm going to get my healing as well. They thronged him. They crushed him. Verse 25, here they are, walking along. At a crucial time, someone is about to die. The little girl is dying. She's not just sick, she's dying. Jairus is a great man. And all of a sudden, at the back of the crowd, there's a woman with an issue of blood, bleeding for 12 years. When you're in that position, you are like a leper. You don't touch anybody, because if I touch somebody, you are now unclean as well. They would have to walk through crowds to do their shopping and everything else, saying, unclean, unclean. People would part, because if you touched me, now I'm unclean. They had to wear special clothing. They would either be clothing of rags, or they would be clothing that had stripes on them going horizontally, not vertically. It would be stripes across here. And she would have to wear that garment or wear the rags so people would notice she's unclean. We need to stay away from her. She was like a leper. And if she did go out, she would have to say unclean, unclean. But one day, maybe she opened the door of her house. She would have to live separately. If she had a family, they couldn't eat from the same bowls. They could not touch each other. If she had children, there were no hugs. There were no touching. She would have to use a different utensil than everybody else. So her whole life was affected by this bleeding problem that she had. And perhaps one day she opened the door and she saw the crowd. And she snuck out of her house and she stood, scripture says, at the back of the crowd, because she could not, again, she could not touch anyone. And so as the crowd was now walking by with Jairus, maybe she heard things. Maybe she heard that woman explain, because when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him. That is a little misinterpretation, because it's when she heard the things that the crowd was saying right then. It was not necessarily that she'd heard, yeah, I heard about that man. He did something a couple of weeks ago, so I've heard about that. No, she was hearing the crowd say, if I can just touch him. Or, oh my gosh, I was deaf and now I can hear. I can hear now. And she began to hear testimonies. What does scripture say about our testimony? That we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So what we say, I was healed of this, I got rid of that. Instead, you know, sometimes we get a little jealous. I remember a lady in our congregation many, many years ago, and God had blessed me with a trip to Bermuda, and I was sharing how blessed I was in the favor of God and all that stuff. And she was annoyed with me, but she said, well, why doesn't God ever bless me with stuff like that? I thought, honey, maybe I might have an answer to that right here and now. But I bit my tongue. I did not say anything. And she was annoyed that I had got something from God that she hadn't got. And so sometimes we get like that, don't we? Well, why does God heal you in an instant? And I've been waiting. Why does God bless you with this finance and this new car when my car has been running down? I don't have the answer to that, but all I know is our spirit needs to stay sweet. And once we start grumbling and getting angry at things, then our faith is depleted and God is attracted to faith. And so she hears these things about Jesus. I can hear, I can see testimonies of God's miraculous power, how his kingdom was here and now. And all of a sudden, faith began to rise up within her, faith for Jesus. Because she had faith, she tried all kinds of doctors, and that takes faith. But it was misdirected faith, not that going to doctors, I'm not saying anything about that. But now her faith was coming to the point of Jesus. And her faith was there because she heard what people were saying about Jesus. And if you and I will just tell people about Jesus and what he's done in our life, maybe faith will spark within them as well. If we would stop being so embarrassed about, you know, what'd you do yesterday on the weekend? I went to church. You what? Oh, I went to my daughter's volleyball game. Woo! Oh, what'd you do on Sunday? I went to church. Maybe if we got excited and enthusiastic about the things of God, what God has done for us, and if he hasn't done anything for you, then something needs to change. Because God's there waiting to do stuff to us, through us, for us. And that is good news. That is good news. And so one day, she comes out of her house. Faith begins to grow within her. Standing at the back of the crowd, you and I need to believe for miracles. She was unclean. She says, if I could just touch him, how am I going to touch him? Now, if I'm in a crowd and I'm going to touch somebody, I'm not going to touch your feet. I'm going to probably touch your arm. That's logical. But she did something totally illogical. Because she couldn't touch anybody. Anybody she touched would be unclean. If they saw her, they would be probably yelling, unclean, unclean, get away from me. Right? So what does she do? She crawls down through people's feet, dressed in her rags or her stripes, crawls through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't need to touch his head. I don't need him to lay hands on me. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, she said. She made a declaration just like Jairus did. Just like nearly every other healing we see in Scripture. Out of her mouth came her declaration. Maybe I'll be healed. Maybe this will be physician number 799. Maybe, no, I will be healed. If I can just touch the hem of his garment. Oh my gosh. And Jesus says it later. I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. This is awesome. This is amazing. And so she sneaks through the crowd. Now remember where Jesus is going. He's following this great nobleman of the city, this ruler in a synagogue, dressed in all his garments. He's walking to heal, to pretty much raise somebody from the dead. And he stops dead in his tracks. Right? Stops dead and says, remember, you got the picture? Crowd pressing in on him. I love the disciples. I love how they're always trying to correct Jesus. And they say to him, and Jesus says, somebody touched me. I think some old hymn writer wrote a song about it. Somebody touched me. Who touched me? And the disciples say, Jesus, just in case you didn't notice, there are a lot of people pressing in on you, crushing you, touching you, and you're stopping? I mean, you're going to Jairus' house. This could make you famous. This could be awesome, going to Jairus' house. Jesus ignores the disciples' lack of faith once again. And he says, virtue went out of me. I want to tell you, that when you let you can tell when something happens when you're praying for people. You can sense and tell the anointing. When I pray for people, I see stuff happening. Many, many times they've gone away and I'm like, that's done. That's just done. That thing that was inside of you is gone. That happened last week with a woman with serious depression. I just knew when I laid my hands on her and we prayed and took authority. I just knew because of the sensing, the anointing, that thing was broken. That thing was off her. And Jesus knew that. He knew what it was like to have to sense. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God. And he knew that somebody, all she did was touch the hem of his garment. He didn't lay hands on her. He didn't spit in her eyes. He didn't even touch her. She touched him. And he said, wait a minute. Who touched me? And so here's this woman now crawling to the back of the crowd again, standing at the back, still in her garments. Compare the garments of Jairus. Compare the garments of this woman. Jesus is not prejudiced. Jesus doesn't say, I'll be right with you. First, I'm going to Jairus because, frankly, he gives more money to the synagogue than you are able to give. No, he doesn't care about. He doesn't care about stuff like that. And we need to take a lesson from that. So she's at the back of the crowd. Scripture says, He looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened, she came. Of course she's afraid. Of course she's terrified. What if the crowd says to her, oh my gosh, she touched me, I'm unclean. How embarrassing would that be? She's already lived 12 years in shame. Talk about a cone of shame. She's already lived 12 years with nobody being able to touch her. Nobody hugged her. Nobody touched her. She's lived that way for 12 years. Not her fault. She can't help that. She doesn't know what the crowd's going to do. She doesn't know what Jesus is going to say. She doesn't know him. What if he says, you touched me and now I'm unclean? She doesn't know. Of course she's afraid. But she falls on her knees. She comes before him. And the Bible says, tells him the whole thing. I love it. I love that Jesus is so patient, patiently waiting for her. Maybe she said, well, I've been to Dr. Smith and he did this. And I've been to Dr. Jones and he did this. Maybe she went through that whole thing because I'm sure those years have been a traumatic year to her. Afraid. She'd been under shame and ridicule for all that time. Verse 34. Don't miss it. And he said to her, daughter. Nobody called her daughter for a long time. Maybe nobody even spoken to her for a long time. Your faith, that's the first miracle. Daughter, that's the first miracle. Your faith, say it with me, your faith. Your faith has made you whole. Let me read it correctly. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. No longer guilty, not anymore. No shame, no ridicule. For I am righteous. That's my translation of daughter. Whole. The rest of her story was she was healed. The bigger part was daughter. But let's not settle for that. That's awesome. It's miraculous. It's life-changing. But if we need healing, if we need deliverance, if we whatever we need to Jesus, let's not just settle for, well, I'm saved. You know, like those people in church that when asked to give a testimony, what's your blessing? 500 years ago, I got saved and I'm still saved. Okay. You know, but isn't Jesus doing something for you now? Isn't he changing and shifting and saving your life now? She dared to push past the crowd. She dared to believe again. You know how hard this might have been for her? You know what it's like to go through doctor after doctor after doctor? Another scripture says that she tried everything, even suspicious, stupid things. She tried, because who wouldn't when you're desperate? She's desperate. Like Jairus, desperate. I think God's looking for some desperate people. I think God's looking for some people that'll just say, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to him. He's looking for some people that believe but have faith. Looking for people that will step out of shame and pride and into the miraculous. Not only is there a physical healing, but there's the healing of the soul as well. And Jesus is saying to us, will we push past what my flesh wants? My flesh wants when I'm weary, when I've worked all day. What does my flesh want? Doesn't necessarily want to sit and read scripture. Doesn't want to study. Doesn't want to listen to songs on the radio. My flesh wants to just sit and chill. Watch Roku one more time. What does our flesh want? You see, there's always this battle between our flesh wanting stuff. Will I push past that? Will you push past that and get the faith of God? No longer guilty, not anymore. Jesus expects the disciples to do miracles. Matthew 17 talks about that. In fact, he rebuked their for lack of faith, saying, well, you can read it. You lack faith and you have unbelief. That's why this miracle is not happening. And he goes further and says this one takes prayer and fasting for this demonic thing to come to pass, to be expelled. But he rebukes them for their lack of faith. You don't find too many of us preachers rebuking people for lack of faith. But our faith has got to go to the next level if we want to see some stuff happen in our lives, in our city, our family, our nation. Our faith has to go higher. I believe, like the man that we watched this morning, this could be the church's finest hour. This could be the church's finest hour. No necessary superstar, nobody depending on this minister or that minister, but just little old you and me, just little old believers saying, look what the Lord has done. Little old believers sitting having lunch instead of just saying, Jesus, thank you for this meal. You know, Pastor Ace, when he was coming home from a ministry meeting many, many years ago, they went to a restaurant to eat. And so someone said, will you, brother so-and-so, say the blessing? And the restaurant was very crowded, full. And so there's about 10 of them sitting at this table. And this man pushes his chair back, stands up, and says the blessing over the food. In fact, one of the things that he said is, thank you, Jesus, that this is normal. We are the normal ones. Church, we're the normal ones. Don't be offended by the sign. We're the normal ones. Because we have Christ living within us. When are we going to, I'm not saying stand up and say you're blessing over your McDonald's hamburger, but I am saying, why don't we bow our heads and fold our hands, and why don't we pray loud and say, Jesus, thank you for giving me this day and giving me this food? Or are we a little embarrassed, a little shy when we're out and open? When something happens at the cash register, are we bold enough? Do we have enough faith to say, that's what God did? God did that for us. Maybe when you're out in a meal, bring your Bibles out and begin to read. Do something crazy for Jesus, because he's done something crazy for you. Push past the crowd. Are we brave enough? Are we hungry enough? Are we desperate enough? Do we have the confidence in God and in his word? You know, God is very real in my life and speaks to me in different ways most often, and I look for that. It's not this wah that happens. I look for it. So I'm at Madison's semifinal volleyball game, and I notice that the closer they get to winning, the crowd is getting a little excited. And at the first couple of games, it was only Brock and Rebecca yelling things, which is quite normal. But now, the rest of the parents are saying, come on, girls, have confidence. Confidence. I guess that was the word for the day. I don't know what it'll be today, but that was the word. Getting a little riled up, saying, good one, yes. And I think, come on, church. Let's have some enthusiasm in our life, because someone is about to score big. It's already a winning team. Already on the winning team. Let's have some enthusiasm for what God has done. How are we going to just sit when he says, these signs will follow you, Naomi? Put your name in there. Jody, these signs are going to follow you. Karen, these signs are going to follow you. You're going to lay hands on the sick, even if it's yourself. And you're going to recover. Oh, I see. I've been in places where there's been stuff going on, fights going on. In fact, I was in the mall not long ago, I guess before Christmas, walking along, and this, something happened. These people were fighting over, like a fist fight over there, and the crowd drew, and of course, I get my cell phone out and text Rebecca and say, hey, there's a fight in the mall. But first of all, I say, oh, stop that in the name of Jesus. I bind that spirit of violence in Jesus' name. And I just dissipated, just went. Rebecca said, you should have videoed it before you called on the name of Jesus. It could have gone viral. But we see things, and the first thing that needs to come out of us is, oh, in Jesus' name, what am I seeing the Father doing? What am I seeing the Father doing? Do we have confidence in the Word of God? You need to ask yourself that question. I can't answer it. Do I have confidence in the Word of God? Do I have confidence that if I sit down on a Saturday night after getting nothing all week long of what you want me to preach, do I have confidence if you say nothing to me, do I have confidence to get up on Sunday morning and know that, God, you're going to have a word anyway? I have that confidence. Do I have that confidence? Thank you, Jesus. He has not left me in that place. Saturday night, yes, I have something. Do we have confidence in His word that we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Do we have confidence that I can speak in tongues? It's not passed away. It's not for a different age. We need it to encourage, to edify, to build ourselves up. It's not just when I don't know what else to say to God, I can outcomes this gift of tongues. No, we need it, church. It helps us press in to the Holy Spirit. It helps us to get focused on what God wants. It's not that we can't do it with in English. I'm not saying that. But it's a great, awesome, wonderful gift. They shall speak in tongues. They lay hands on the sick. They cast out demons. If they eat any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. The list goes on of what believers can do. So I say to you this morning, are you ready to press through the crowd? Are you ready to press through? Are you ready to hear some testimony right here in this book, right here in this room of what Jesus had done? Let's stand together. Worship team, come on. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I praise you and I bless you this morning. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we have confidence in you. We're a group of people that believe your word. We say yes and amen to miracles. We say that we will stand with our hands high, our heart abandoned. We say yes to you, Jesus. We say yes to you pushing buttons in our lives. We say yes to hearing your voice when you say you lack faith in this area. Come on, I'm calling you higher. We say yes to that. We say yes to shedding our cone of shame. Yes to you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I just keep falling in love with you every time I open your scriptures and find out how you don't care whether someone's rich or poor. You just love them. And you love to heal. Father, I pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For our families, our church, our nation, let your will be done. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Let's worship the Lord with this song. And if any of you would like prayer, Pastor Ace has his oil. We'll be happy to pray for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Oh, my shame.